delighted to be joined once again by Graham Crabb from Pot Will Eat Itself. Hello, Graham.
Hi, how do you do?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? We were here a couple of years ago and it was a bit different.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice little spot. We're about 1 minute from my house. So,
convenient.
It is. Nice little boozer just round the corner. Just what you want.
Now, you've got a busy 2014 ahead. I know we're partway through it, but we're going to reel off what you've been doing so far. We started off with a new EP, Watch It Blow, which you launched after a successful Pledge Music campaign. Over 600 pledges, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't keeping count, actually, so well done for that. But, yeah, it was... We, as with all these sort of crowdfunding things, you set a target, which is the money you need to then go to manufacture and start producing all the incentives that people are purchasing. And that target, I think we reached in just over 24 hours, which was fantastic, really. It took us by surprise. So it's great to know that people are still that interested. And so, yeah, it's a new thing for us, really, the pledge thing. But it just makes sense for a band that's has already got a bit of a following, rather than go to a record company and sort of pay them to access your own fans. If you've got your own fans anyway, well, you may as well just go the independent route, unless you're trying to, you know, take that big gamble to be a huge superstar band, which at our age we're not trying to do.
Now I mean you're a band who has been on a major label as well as various independents, and it must be nice to know that you're not going to get a statement through the post telling you how much you owe them out of your future sales.
Yeah, I mean it's quite horrific how much we did owe, but of course record company debt, it's only payable out of you know, your record sales, so it's nothing to worry about. But I mean, actually, the major labels were very good to us, really. They funded our lifestyle for, you know, a good decade, really. They were very patient.
Oh, it's nice to hear someone say that, actually, because everyone just knocks them all the time.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I could knock them on many different levels about them not really knowing what they're doing, or, you know, not knowing how to let a band develop, or, you know, not recognising that a band has got another route to success other than just going for the mainstream hit. But as far as funding went, you know, we always pretty much got everything we asked for: good recording budget, tour support to go touring the world. So we did quite well on that score, really.
You still managed to survive 25 years later. Here we are, and we're going to be talking about all the albums and EPs and tours that you're still doing. Got a new single out, of course, it's World Cup year. You were doing unofficial World Cup singles before it was fashionable and everybody did it. And you got another one this year, which I think I caught on Soccer AM a couple of weeks ago.
That's right, yeah. So we did Touched by the Hand of Cicciolina in 1990 for the World Cup in Italy. And here we go again. It just seemed right this time because Mary Biker, who's the co-vocalist, he lives in Brazil now, and he's got previous football song form because he co-wrote part of the Anfield Rap, would you believe?
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And so we've both got a bit of, you know, football song history. Yeah. And we wanted to do the World Cup song because Mary DJ's in Brazil as well, so he's got lots of records with, you know, samba beats and, you know, the bossa nova stuff and everything, so he was able to put together a really sort of groovy backing track. And with the way things are going with the circus that is FIFA, we always knew that the lyrical content was going to be directed at FIFA and Sepp Blatter rather than a typical Come On England type of lyric.
Which is a nice... Because normally these World Cup songs are very jingoistic in nature, and it's nice to get a little... Well, it's been nice to get a little bit of politics. Nice to get your thoughts on the way the whole thing's run into the lyrics.
Yes, I mean, both World Cup songs that we've done now, neither of them have gone down that typical route, and I think that's why we've done them, really, because if we didn't have another angle and it was just going to be that very obvious route, then you know, we wouldn't do it. It's not what we're about.
And Mary, being in Rio, was fortunate enough to get the services of a acclaimed Brazilian rapper who's probably unknown in the UK, but he's a big star in Brazil. This is Benegão.
Benegão, I think. It's my Brazilian isn't much to write home about. But yeah, he's kind of a well-known sort of alternative type rapper, I suppose. I suppose the nearest thing would be something like Scroobius Pip, you know, right. that type of thing. So he was in a band called Planet Hemp. He's got his own band. So yeah, we're very lucky to have his services, and makes a great contribution.
Yeah, the song's a little bit dancier. It's a little bit Cicciolina era, isn't it? A bit more so than maybe the previous album. Is that a deliberate ploy just to keep in with the previous World Cup single, or a possible change of direction back to where you were?
I think it has to have that kind of anthemic sort of ring to it. You know, we've sort of got the brass riff in it, which makes it very sort of uplifting, you know, even though the lyrical theme is about FIFA greed and corruption. I think the World Cup just lends itself to that, doesn't it? Because it's a big celebration, the whole world is watching. So, you know, we'll be getting into the World Cup as much as anybody, you know. It's good to present that other side to it.
Yeah. Is the single out soon?
The single will be out. We're discussing, it's either going to be as the World Cup comes out or a week later, but it will be, you're looking at second week in June, I think.
Okay. Not long now, is it? It's getting exciting.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Catching up.
I would normally say it's getting exciting to the World Cup, but I think this year is the expectations are thankfully quite a lot lower.
Yeah, I think we're forced to be realistic, aren't we? I mean, if England get out of their group, then they've done really well. And it'll just be, you know, anything after that is a bonus.
You're right. I mean, I've never seen England 33-1 for a World Cup before. It's incredible. And also, I find it very difficult. I think more than ever, I think there's too many superstar footballers who never perform for England, who you just can't really feel like you can get behind.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, was it 2006, I think, when we had what looks a really great team. Mm. On paper, I mean, Lampard and Gerrard were at their peak, and Ashley Cole, Rooney. I mean, that was a genuinely good team, and if we were going to do anything, it would have been then, and we failed miserably. And if you look at England's record on foreign soil, it's abysmal. We've only ever done well with home advantage, so we have to be realistic, and we'll support the guys, obviously, but we're up against it, that's for sure.
Let's talk about something a bit more uplifting, and we'll talk about the new Popple Itself album, which is due out later this year.
Yeah, we're thinking first week of October for that.
Anything you can tell us about it, or is it still under development?
Yeah, we're producing it as we speak. Sort of got three producers working on it, or co-producing it with ourselves. We don't have a title for it as yet. I think it's going to be quite a tough, hard-hitting album. Lyrically, quite hard-hitting as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of things going on in the world at the minute which require people to stand up and say something about. And so, lyrically, I think it's going to be quite intense.
The obvious question, I guess, that people always ask when a new album comes out is there going to be a move on musically from the last one, or is it pretty much more the same?
I think it'll certainly be heavier than the last album. I think if people have heard Watch the Bitch Blow, that's probably a good guide. They're not all sort of a full-on heavy sound like that. There's the typical Pop Will Eat Itself groove in there. Perhaps tracks with a bit more space, but the general intensity level is high.
You talked about Mary being in Brazil. I mean, has it been a challenge with band members being in different continents, let alone countries?
Not really, not now. I mean, the main problem for us is that, you know, we might have to turn down one-off gigs because obviously, you're not going to fly from one end of the world to another just for one gig, so we have to try and arrange gigs in, you know, blocks to make it worthwhile. but musically we've all got sort of home studios and equipment that we can work from, so we tend to work remotely. We'll do something at our studio, then we'll send the files, you know, by WeTransfer or you send it, whatever, and then they're downloaded the other end and everything's put together, reassembled and sent out again. It's a sort of a modern way of working.
Yeah, and it works well for the band. The lack of daily human contact is probably a better thing sometimes, is it?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's you know, you've got to put the work in, you've got to put the hours in, and yeah, I suppose there's less larking about if you're there on your own. You tend to crack on with your work and get it done.
Now, you've got some gigs lined up as well. You've got Camp Festival and the Bearded Theory Festival, and some other gigs at the end of this month, including one in London at the Islington Academy, 25th of May. Looking forward to showcasing some of the new material.
Absolutely. We're going to play the tracks off the last EP, so that's Watch the Bitch Blow, Hollow and Babylon. And we'll be playing the World Cup tune as well, so... Yeah, it'd be nice to see people there for that.
And a few old ones as well, I suppose.
Oh, of course, yeah. Got to keep the punters happy.
You're also involved in Primitive Race, and don't mind admitting that I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. Just explain a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's early days, really. I mean, Primitive Race is a collection of people who were in probably sort of what would be termed industrial-type bands, KMFDM, Pop Will Eat Itself, even Ministry, Skinny Puppy, and we've all got together and just put our music together to see what would happen. So we haven't actually done any gigs yet, but the tracks are sounding great. We've got at least an album's worth, so it's kind of at the same stage as the Pop Will Eat Itself album, really. The tracks are written, they've just got to be finished, produced and mixed. And, yeah, that should be coming out later in the year, hopefully.
It's quite a lineup because there's nine of you and it's like a top table or a sort of a trade association of industrial music, actually. It's quite an impressive lineup in the particular genre. But, again, you're working remotely. So I think it's based in Denver, is that right?
Yeah, Chris, the main guy who set it up, he's worked with record companies and management, and he was basically the guy who put it all together because he had all these contacts and said, what about it? And I think when everybody saw the quality of who was coming in, you know, you'd sort of be daft not to to get involved. So I was really chuffed that he included me in that. And whenever I've received music from any of the other guys to work on, it's always been, you know, top quality stuff. Really impressed with it. And, you know, you've got some seriously good musicians there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a lot obviously going on in 2014 with Primitive Race and with Pop Will Eat Itself as well. How do you see the future of the band? Do you still think that there's still a lot of energy and enthusiasm both from the band members and the fans to keep it going? You're happy to do more of the same and continue on this album and writing and touring and so on?
I think so. I mean, we've, you know, definitely seen progress in the 3 years since we got it back together. And as long as that continues, then, you know, everybody's happy, and all the signs are that people seem to be very impressed with the last two records that we've put out, and, you know, hopefully that continues. I mean, it's down to us, isn't it? You can't expect any favours. We've got to make great music and make people want to buy the records and want to come to the gigs, so, you know, it's our responsibility.
Which you're coping with admirably at the moment.
I love it, you know. This is my musical calling, really. It's what I felt that I always do best, and that was behind the decision to keep on doing it.
Graham, thank you very much for having another chat with us, and look forward to hearing the end product of everything we talked about.
Cheers, Paul. Thank you.